Well, good morning, everyone. For those who haven't met me before, I have been here, but I'm not English. I'm not Australian either. We're Kiwis. We're from New Zealand, but we haven't lived there for a long time. We've been living now for some almost 30 years in Asia, and World Outreach, as Billy was saying, is a mission organization, non-denominational Pentecostal organization that we believe if we can introduce the Holy Spirit into different nations, into people's lives, it's going to make a radical transformation difference. And so we have people from many countries, many nationalities serving with us from the UK and Europe and Australasia. A lot of out of Africa and Asia today are serving with World Outreach. God calls people. He doesn't call a building. He doesn't call a denomination. God calls people. And we are like a broker. We kind of want to partner with the church, the sending church, to help people that God has genuinely called to succeed in what God's called them to do. In the end, it's God calling them, and we back them. And we lend our infrastructure to help them succeed in what they're called to do. And so our focus in particular is to help place people amongst ethnic communities around the world that have never heard the name Jesus Christ. And you know, there are still 6,900 major language groups, ethnic groups, cultures that still do not have viable access to hearing the gospel today. But I tell you, they are being won to the Lord today in large numbers by not only ourselves, but other organizations are doing a phenomenal job in seeing that this is a target that we must get the gospel to everybody. And Matthew 24:14 says, when that happens, when all nations come to know and experience God, then the end will come. And I believe, and we believe, many of us in World Outreach, we believe that in our lifetime it can happen. In our lifetime. I mean, in the next few years, the next 10 years, 5 years possibly, with the work of the Holy Spirit, us partnering with God, I tell you, we're in for a ride, a wonderful ride, and an experience of what God's doing today. I want to show a little video clip. We've just celebrated 80 years of God's goodness, not Mary and I, but the organization is 80 years old. And it wasn't started by a Northern Irishman, it was started by a Welshman. Any Welshmen here today? All Irish, are we? But Len Jones was the founder of World Outreach, and of course we have a lot of contacts in the UK that people that have partnered way back in the early days. Some of them have gone on to their rewards, but still, God is sending people out from the UK. God is sending people to the UK to reach all the different cultures here, and that's valid. That's fine. Australia is also a mission field. New Zealand is a mission field. The world is a mission field. And so missions is all upside down at the moment. But what we're going to show you here is what our people in World Outreach, when I say our people, people from all the different countries, this is what we're passionate about. And maybe these are some of the things, you're going to see some script come across the bottom of the screen. These are things that you're passionate about as well. Here at home, as well as to see it happen maybe back in other nations as well. And these things get us out of bed on a Monday morning. These are the things that we say, this is why we do what we do. We're passionate about it. We believe in it. And it's just faces of many different cultures. And the people that you see are basically the people groups that we're trying to work amongst. And today in World Outreach, we're amongst about 82 of these 6,900 language groups. And other groups are mixing with groups that we don't relate to, so the job's getting done. But this is what we're passionate about, and I trust it'll be an encouragement to you. Beautiful faces, aren't they? Seeing the children, it doesn't matter what culture, what countries you go to, children are just so open and so expressive, and it's an absolute delight to work with them. I want to share this morning just three principles that the Lord's been speaking to me about, and I've actually done an editorial in one of our magazines, again, another free magazine. There's a lot of free magazines going today. Anyway, Teo's put some out the back in the foyer. Some of you already get this, but it's our Nations magazine. Pastor Billy was telling you about the word for today, which is great. It's fantastic. We need to feed our faith. We need to feed. But this is not the word of God, but there are some great stories and great examples in here. Well, in our one, it's things that tells you what the Holy Spirit is doing around the world today. And we want to see these things, some of these testimonies happening in our neighborhood, in our community. We don't want to always hear of foreign stories. But at the same time, we have to encourage our faith because God does it through people. God, whatever he does, he'll do it through people. And your coffee shop outreach and things like that, these are the ways in which we're surprised at the tools or the facilities that God would use to show himself. And we've just got to take every opportunity. And one of the points I'm going to share on later is opportunities. And I want to tell you of some opportunities that we see before us today, and maybe they will line up with what God's saying to you. But I believe we are living in the worst of times and the best of times. And the scripture gives us hope to the fact that even though things are going to get worse in the world, in the sense from a secular point of view, people are going to turn away from God possibly, and legislation is going to come in that's going to deny even us, some of us, our freedom of worship. But the presence of God will increase. And the presence of God in Isaiah 60 talks about that the glory of the Lord shall increase upon the people of God. And so you and I are going to shine like beacons. But in the meantime, there's going to be a lot of chaos and a lot of darkness. So we're living in the worst of times, but we're also living in the best of times. And there is a verse in Habakkuk, and I just want to read it out. It says, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told." Now, isn't that an exciting scripture? God's going to do something that even if we were told, we wouldn't believe it. We could say, I just can't imagine that. But actually, this is not a positive scripture in the Bible text of which it was written. Because God is basically saying to Israel, I've had enough of you, and I'm going to let the Babylonians come and take you over. That's what he's saying. I'm going to do something in your day that you won't believe that I could do. And it's like God is giving the people of God a warning, as if to say, you know, if we don't measure up and do what we're redeemed to be doing, then God is going to do something in order to get our attention. He's going to stir the pot, if you like. He's going to stir us up. But later on in the book of Habakkuk, it says in chapter 2 and verse 14, again, God can't help himself. He wants to stir us. He wants to get you and I involved. And he doesn't want us just sitting, observing, and wondering, can it be any better than this? He wants us to be proactive. And then he comes along and declares, and it's going to be, because he says in verse 14, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." So God is saying, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'd like to do it through you. But if you're not available, I will find someone else. And that's what he did with Israel. If he couldn't use Israel, he will do something different through somebody else. But then Israel kept repenting, and God kept forgiving them, and God kept using them. And so that's a picture of what it is with us today. So God is saying, I'm going to do some utterly amazing things. So in times of political, social, and economic chaos, the gospel finds many opportunities to express itself, to find receptive hearts. And I truly believe, friends, we're entering into a new season. If you like, a demarcation line has been established between those who truly know God and those who would say they know God but they don't, or those who are rejecting God. And there's going to become a clearer and clearer divide between the them and the us. I really enjoyed watching the Iron Lady's funeral service on TV. I thought it was a great honor to a great leader, but at the same time, what I really enjoyed was the Prime Minister reading John 14, 1-6. And having to read verse 6 out that went to the millions and billions of people around the world, that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For the Prime Minister of England to declare that, and he had no choice. It was in her plans. He had to read that and nothing else. And whether he believes it or not, I don't know. But anyway, it was a good I appreciated Mrs. Thatcher's thoughts in making sure that that verse went out. And I believe that we are to take every opportunity that comes in these worst of times and these best of times. We're entering a new season, and it's time to see things from God's perspective. It's time for you and I, and we're in the prayer meeting this morning. I really kind of felt in my spirit, God was saying, I want to take you to another level. I want you to see through my eyes what's going on, not through the bank manager's eyes, the boss's eyes, the politician's eyes, or any other pessimistic eyes. I want you to see through my eyes. And God wants to reveal, because God is a father. And so what I want to share today is just three things, three doors. Doors of revelation, doors of opportunity, and doors of provision. And I believe these doors are for us today, but we must deliberately position ourselves to possess what God wants us to enter into. There's adjustments that you and I need to make. Possibly in our walk with God, our personal walk with God, maybe our involvement. We need to possibly give more of ourselves to something that maybe God is presenting to us. But there may come adjustments that are necessary in our lives in order to position ourselves to go to this next level, to come into what God is saying, this is what's going to happen, and I want you involved. So I want to look at the first one, revelation, the door of revelation, or doors of revelation. I believe we need to go after God. We need to be proactive. I believe that faith is a proactive thing. Faith is not sitting back and saying, well, God knows where to find me if he wants to use me. Faith is, I know God is offering to use me. God is wanting to express himself through me. I need to press into God. And we must strengthen our relationship with Christ. We must learn to enjoy his presence more. He's been speaking to me a lot lately about just taking more time to sit in his presence and shut up. Not to do the talking, but just to listen. Put on a CD. Let the worship take me, still me, quieten me. Get away, lock the door, turn the phone off, turn the TV off or something. Just spend some time. And it's not a legalistic thing. It's something that you want to do rather than I've got to do it. It's coming to that place of recognizing that God is wanting to spend time with us. Our vision of the future must be dominated by the vast superiority of who Jesus Christ is. When you and I make decisions to do with the kingdom of God, I trust that the greatness, the magnificence of who God is, the superiority of who he is above all other things is that which will cause us to take steps of faith, to make sacrifices. And God is wanting to reveal himself to us and share more. In Joshua chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3, for the sake of time, we won't read it, but I'll give you the references. But it's basically the children of Israel about to cross over the Jordan River. And God again giving very specific instructions to Joshua about what to do. And it says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. They had to carry it on their shoulders. The priests had to carry it on their shoulders. It says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. To go after the presence of God. And so God is wanting you and I in this new season that we're coming into. He says, I love you. My love to you is unconditional. But I've got more for you, and I want you to come after me. I want you to press into me. I want you to seek me, because it says in Jeremiah 29, they that seek the Lord shall find him. He's a God who wants to be found. He's a God who wants to reveal things. He's a God who wants to give you success compared to those who don't know him. You know, and he's scattered us in society. He's put us in all these different places where we rub shoulders with people who don't know God. And he wants us to stand out. He wants us to stand out like beacons. He wants people to say, why are you not disturbed? Why are you not having heart attacks? Why are you not really upset about what's going on? Because we have a confidence. We know who we are in Jesus Christ, and we know he's still in charge, and he's not abdicating. And so God wants us to go after his presence. And in doing so, he will speak to us. We're finding as we work with the younger generation today, they expect God to speak. It's like we hang out with some of them and that, and they say, you know, I really felt God, well, you did not felt, God spoke to me. God said this and God said that. And we're listening saying, how come they're so confident they know that it was God? It's not like I think, or, you know, we use sometimes church terms, you know, I really feel, you know, inside me that maybe God is saying such and such. You know, we couch it with different terminology. Young people are saying, God spoke to me. These are young people, of course, that are loving the Lord. We've got three children, and our daughter, when she was in Bible school, she would just say, you know, come and prophesy over her parents, you know, like, hang on, we should be prophesying over her, you know, or bringing the word of the Lord to her. But you could just see how she had a confidence in her relationship with the Lord. We've been working amongst a particular ethnic community in northern Mozambique called the Koti. And the Koti are a folk Muslim group who really, you know, Islam wasn't a huge part of their lives, but it was what they were brought up in, and that's what they believe. And occasionally an imam would come by, and they'd have prayers together, and he would say a few things with them, and then he'd move on. But they really had no mosque, they had no facilities, but there was a large community of them. I don't have time to tell you how God has started a movement, a Holy Spirit movement amongst the Koti, where today there are, after about 8 or 9 years today, there's something like 200 churches, over 200 churches today amongst the Koti people, led by Koti, the indigenous Koti, not a missionary in sight. And 8 or 9 years ago, none of them knew the Lord. But God is giving them revelation, these new believers. And some of them are starting to see further north in Mozambique, another people group called the Mwani. And God is telling the Koti, I'm going to come and visit the Mwani. And I want you to get up there and get amongst the Mwani, because when they come to know me, I want you to bring them the word of God. I want you to disciple them. Why does God use young believers like that, who are just new in their faith, and yet they're having all these visions of God's strategy? And on top of that, there's a group of islands off the east coast of Africa called the Comora Islands that are 99% Muslim, and God is telling the Koti, showing them tongues of fire all over these islands of the Holy Spirit coming to visit these islands of the Comoras. Now, God's got plans, obviously. God's going to do stuff. Now, if God can do it amongst the Mwani, the Koti, and the Comoras, could not God do it here in the UK? Could not tongues of fire, works of revival take place? They may not all meet in lovely churches like this, but the point is, God's going to do what God's going to do. And God has redeemed you and I in this generation to influence this generation for Jesus Christ. And you and I can hear these stories of what's going abroad, and we're saying, Lord, I want some of that action. I want some of this action. And in saying that, I'm going to press into God. I'm going to go after the presence of God. And I'm going to expect God to speak to me. If the young people today have a confidence that God speaks and they can hear, then we who have been Christians for a long time, we need to get renewed in that fact as well. And not only enjoy his presence, but hear his voice. The second door God wants us to be aware of, this new season that we're in, is what's already been touched on this morning, a doors of opportunities. In World Outreach, we produced a DVD about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, called Why Europe, why now? And we've got different versions. One's a 12-minute version, another one's about 22 minutes. And it basically is divided into three parts, and it shows you historical Europe. And out of historical Europe, the Word of God went to many nations. And Britain is part of Europe, by the way, at the moment, in this DVD anyway. And out of this part of the world, the gospel went even to good old New Zealand. Thank you very much. And then the middle part of the DVD focuses on today Europe, secular Europe. Beautiful buildings become restaurants. Some have become mosques. Some are just chained up and not in use today. And you can get a like, you know, it's all gone crazy. You know, it's all dried up. There's nothing happening in Europe. And the last part of the DVD shows you what's going on behind the scenes of what the Holy Spirit is doing today. And you see Iranians being baptized in Dutch swimming pools. You see an evangelist from the India subcontinent laying hands on blonde Swedish heads and people getting healed and just delivered and set free. You see Spanish people falling under the Spirit. You know, things that we don't see in a typical church is things are going on, enough things are going on behind the scenes outside the traditional church to say there are opportunities that God is bringing, and if we don't embrace them and we expect everything to happen within the walls of these churches, then friends, you're going to be disappointed. It's not all going to happen here. There's no magic wand when people come through those doors and suddenly I've got them into church. I've done my bit. Now, Pastor Billy, you've got to do the rest. It doesn't work like that. It's out of relationship. You talk to Billy Graham when he came to Britain, he came to all these other nations. He said only 10% of those who responded to his message were people who came cold turkey, who came on their own initiative. 90% of all respondees at Billy Graham's conferences came because somebody invited them. Somebody had already begun a relationship with them. And he just put the icing on the cake, so to speak. And that's what we need today. We've got to keep building relationships, and we've got to learn to take it on the chin too when people don't like what we say. But we're not to preach at people. We're to demonstrate God's power. We had friends, caught up with some friends yesterday and missed Pastor Billy's visit. He was coming by to see us and I didn't know. And we went off with some friends and one of them said to me, you know, John, the key to the UK is for Christians to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. We should not hesitate to lay hands on the sick and see them come and healed and delivered. And we know we can't heal, but there are opportunities that God wants us to have. And I believe, friends, stunning breakthroughs are going to start to take place in this new season of what God is doing today. There is going to come a separation. The line between the believers and the non-believers is going to get wider and wider because legislation even is going to force that in when they bring in what they've brought into New Zealand, and I'm ashamed of it. But now, gay people can get married in New Zealand. We were the first nation in the world to give women the vote, and we're the first nation in the southern hemisphere to allow gays to get married. And to me, it's widening the demarcation line between those who know God and those who don't. Because my Bible tells me that people in darkness are going to get tired of darkness. And what are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to the light. And the light are going to be God's people. The glory of God is going to be upon us. People are going to look us out. People are going to ask questions. How come you have what you've got and I don't have it? Or I want to know what you've got, etc., etc. And today in missions, we're seeing stunning breakthroughs. Breakthroughs to say, why is God doing this? Why should he suddenly come down and just reveal himself in a region? And of course, the people there are delighted, absolutely thrilled. I'm thinking of Thailand. Thailand is a Buddhist nation, a strong Buddhist nation. You cannot criticize the king of Thailand in any way. It's a prisonable offense. To say that, you know, the king, we don't need a king anymore, is an insult in Thailand. And you can be put in prison for it. And so Thailand is so proudly Buddhist and has been a hard nation, a gospel-resistant nation. We've had missionaries working there for over 30 years, and they've seen a good number come to the Lord, but they haven't seen it at the level to which their hearts have longed to see it. And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit blows a fresh wind upon a certain region. There's a young couple in Thailand called John and Nok. They're Thais. John has leukemia. And he was diagnosed with leukemia some 5 years ago, and he was told he had 2 years to live. And he's still going 5 years today. And John and Nok were part of our World Outreach team, and their family had a church in a village on the outskirts of Bangkok. And they put pressure on John and Nok to leave Bangkok and come back to the village and take over the church. Now, the church was a small village church. The average attendance in a typical Thai church is 40 people. And so in 30 years, this church has only seen 40 people or thereabouts come to the Lord. And John and Nok were involved in school programs. They go into schools, and through dance, Muppets, puppets, drama, music, they were able to present the gospel to sometimes 2,000 children. Not to proselytize, not to sort of challenge them to become believers, but to allow them to have an interest to say, if you would like to know more, here's a colorful cartoon magazine with, based on biblical stories, and if at the back of it is lesson number one of a correspondence course. And if you would like to take one on your way out, read the stories, and a lot of the answers to the questions are found in the magazine, which is all based on scripture. And today we've got 130,000 children doing the correspondence courses in Thailand. And John and Nok were part of that. And here they are now pastoring this small church. And they're saying, we don't want to finish our years pastoring a traditional church. There's got to be a better way to see God break through. And so we as an organization embraced a new form of another model of church planting. It's not the only model we use, but it's a model. And it's called CPM, Church Planting Movement, and it's basically saying we don't have the resources to buy, say, 10,000 villages. We don't have the resources to buy 10,000 plots of land and build 10,000 churches, but let us plant a house church in every village to a stage where it can grow, and in itself it will build a building if it's necessary in the future. But let's just get the presence, the tangible presence of God established in every village possible, especially amongst least reached people groups. John and Nok caught this, and they decided they'll run their traditional church, but separately during the week, they will meet with people and introduce them to the CPM principles, which is basically sharing the gospel with your friends and your relatives and those that you've got relationships with. Cut a long story short, in 2 years, John and Nok and their teams that they've raised up have seen 12,000 people baptized in Thailand. Now, John and Nok are not doing all the baptizing. They are just relating to about seven people, and they meet with them regularly, weekly, and invest in them. Those seven are also have led people to the Lord, so their responsibility, each of them, is to relate to those they've led to the Lord. And those people that have led to the Lord, their responsibility is to lead the ones they have led to the Lord, disciple them. So it's like a tier structure. And so they get to meet and they baptize them in rivers, etc. Friends, we've seen 16 Buddhist monks water baptized. We've seen prisoners, seven prisoners, start cell churches. Excuse the pun. Prisoners today are coming to the Lord. And it's just John and Nok are just stirring and stoking the fire, saying there's got to be a better way to reach Thailand than the traditional Western church model that was brought here. Let us do it the Thai way. And we're seeing the same thing happening in Indochina, in parts of Africa, in India subcontinent today. In the India subcontinent, in northern India, Assam and Manipur and provinces like that, we're seeing, we know that we've lost count, actually. Well, last time we counted that we had records that we could follow, there's more than 80,000 people in 7 years that have come to know Jesus Christ. and being water baptized. So there's opportunities. And I believe today that God is saying, I'm going to show you another way. It's not to say that what we're doing is wrong, because it works for our culture possibly, but let's not import or export our culture to other cultures. Let people discover Jesus within their culture. They have their own songs. They have their own ways. They have their own style. But the point is, let the Word of God get into their hearts and let them discover who Jesus Christ is. Because God created culture. Culture's good. It just gets messed up sometimes along the way. And things, even our New Zealand culture, it's got stuff in it that does not please God. But the point is, we still have a culture. And that culture is from the Lord. And today I believe that we're going to see God doing breathtaking stuff. I could tell you stories in Bangladesh, and you saw maybe on the clip there that we showed guys wearing black T-shirts, quoting leaders of leaders. And one of the chaps also showed his photo. Bruce is going into Bangladesh, and he's just gathering young leaders every 6 months, and he's just investing in them for 5 days at a time with a discipleship program, an empowerment program. And these guys are so excited because they don't know what mentoring is about. No one's ever mentored them. Most of their fathers do not know how to mentor. Their fathers don't know how to invest in them. And so young people just, they're like sponges when someone will spend time with them and just not preach at them, but to help them, empower them, disciple them, introduce them to better ways. They just love it. And so today in Bangladesh, we're seeing a movement take place amongst young people in different regions, and they're willing to go even outside the big cities in order for the gospel to go forth. And the third door and the final door is the door of provision. Missions needs money. And I thank you for the gift in advance. We've got dreams. And it's not like we're looking for work. I kind of feel like, you know, I want to start to slow down and smell the flowers and enjoy the flowers and smell the coffee. I think it goes that way, doesn't it? But then God comes along and opens another door. And so often in ministry, too few people are doing too many things. It's always the same people being asked, can you do this as well? Because they prove to be faithful and committed, and we can't find anyone else for this new opportunity. So we ask the same people, would you take this on? And so people are wearing all kinds of hats, and it should be spread out and shared. And some of the things that is required is money. And some people in church are really good at making money. Others of us are good at spending it. But the point is, if God has gifted us in the area of generating resources for the kingdom of God, don't limit God with your own dreams. Let God's dreams get hold of you. Let God show you what his dreams can do through you in a way that he will bless us beyond our imaginations. You see, the children of Israel and Joshua, they had to obey the Lord before they saw the miracles. And you and I, you know, if we want to come into another season, a new season in the Lord, go to another level of our walk with God, even in our giving, we have, in a sense, got to hear the voice of God to our heart and obey it before you can expect to see the miracle. I want to tell you a story, a testimony. We've been living in Singapore now 25 years. It's a tropical climate. It's hot all time, all year round. It's one climate, and it's called hot. We don't have winter. We occasionally have a monsoon that comes by for 2 months and drops the temperature down from 33 to about 28, 29 degrees Celsius, and then it goes back up again. And so we've been living in Singapore in this tropical climate, and we've been renting. Every facility, both for living and office, has been rented. And we were coming to the end of a contract to do with our office in the end of 2011. And when you rent an office in Singapore, you have to rent for 2 years. So you've got to really kind of know, if I'm locked into something, if I try to break the contract, I'm going to lose some money along the way because the landlord's entitled to be protected. And so I'm praying, like I've been praying every 2 years for 25 years, or every 2 years I'm praying, Lord, do we rent or do we buy? And when I say do we buy, we'd never had any money to buy. It was just a dream. But you've got to ask the Lord, you know. And I've been doing that for 12 years. And in 2011, the Lord said to me, it's time to buy. You know, when God speaks like that, you kind of want to say, who said that? Who said that? Because you weren't expecting it. And I sat on it for a week, and then I shared it with Mary, and I said, you know, I really feel God is saying we should buy an office. And she was saying, well, God's been speaking to me from the Word too, and she aligned with it. So I went to my executive team who helped me in my leadership of World Outreach. They're missionaries, but they lend some of their time to helping do some of the responsibilities. And these are the guys that if they get £5, they want it out on the mission field. They want to use it to rescue somebody, to save somebody, to feed somebody. And so to say, shall we buy an office, mortar and brick investment, I knew it would be a tough one to get past them. And I just said, guys, I really feel God says he wants us to buy an office in Singapore. And they said, unanimously, they said, if God said do it, let's do it. But we're not going to touch any other money. We're not going to touch any money that was designated for ministry or for a country or for any person. It's God's got to do it. And they said, well, so it's your responsibility, John, you know. And so here I am sort of thinking, how's this going to work? A business lady, an Indian business lady in Singapore, totally committed Christian, managing director of a company, she gives profits from their company's enterprises in different nations. She says, we want to sow back into missions, and World Outreach is one of about six organizations that they sow into because we're in countries where they do business, and so they like to tithe their profits back into the countries where they made the money. So she rang me up one day to ask about how we were doing and her investments through World Outreach, how are we doing, how's those projects going? And she said to me, are you still in Pandan Valley, which is the complex that we are renting? And I said, yes. I said, actually, I really feel like our contract's coming up for renewal, but I feel like God said to me, it's time to buy an office. And she said, what a good decision. I said, really? All the secular prophets are saying, don't do anything risky in 2012 or 2013. The world's economy is going to be so chaotic. Interest rates, who knows what's going to happen. Foreclosures, all these things. Don't do anything risky in 2012, 2013. But the Lord says, do it. And she says, it's a good decision. She said, what do you need? And I said, well, I told her the price. And I said, in 10 days' time, I've got to come up with a deposit of 10% on this building. And Singapore is not one of the cheapest places to buy anything from the form of real estate. It's not as bad as Tokyo or Hong Kong, but it's not far behind. I said, I've got to come up with 15%. And she said, well, you know, we prefer to invest in people, ministry, but I'll talk to my fellow directors and I'll get back to you. And I said, how soon could you talk to them? I said, I need to know by Friday, because then we have to put some... Once I put my signature to a piece of paper, we've started something. And she said, I'll try and get back to you by Friday. She came back the next day, which was Tuesday, and she said, John, I cannot believe it, but my directors are unanimous. We want to cover the first 15%. I says, praise God. How soon can you give it? And she said, yeah, well, we'll need some time to free it up, but you'll get it within 2 weeks, which was in the time frame. And I said, this is great. All right, we're 15% on the way. So anyway, we're going along, and I said, I'm a foreigner in Singapore. I can't own property in that sense for a trust. I need somebody who would underwrite. We thought we'd need a 40% mortgage. I need someone to underwrite a mortgage. Sorry, I can't take a mortgage through that. I need a local person. And they said, you need to find a person who will lend their name to your mortgage, that if you ever to skip away and go back to New Zealand and hide, they will have to pay your bills. How many friends do you have like that? So I didn't know anyone. I had this friend who's been a tax consultant for us, so I phoned her and I said, can we meet and have coffee together? And I said, listen, this is a story. We've got into this building. I've got the first 15%, but in 4 weeks' time, I need to come up with another 20%. She said, how much is it? Told her. She said, I'll do that for you. I'll cover it. I said, really? She said, yes. I said, what about the mortgage? She said, yeah, I can cover that too. I'll put my name. She said, I've known you for 20 years. I know you're not going to run away. I said, wow, okay. So we got 15, we got 20. Then Chinese New Year comes along. That's a great time in Singapore. There's a lot of eating goes on Chinese New Year and all these delicacies. And we go to this family reunion dinner on the eve of Chinese New Year. And there's a bunch of people in the place, and there's an Indonesian man there who we heard of but we didn't know well. And it's a four-day weekend in Singapore. We hardly ever get a four-day weekend, you know, weekend plus two extra days. And so he's chatting with me, and he'd heard of me, and I'd heard of him, but we didn't know each other. And he said, John, what are you going to do for your four-day weekend? And I said, oh, I don't know, read books, watch some good rugby, just chill out. And he said, would you like to have breakfast? Do you eat breakfast? I said, I love breakfast, English breakfast. That's cool. He said, I'll pick you up. 2 days later, he came by and he picked me up in this really nice car, and we're driving off somewhere. Mary couldn't come. And we have breakfast. We're chit-chatting, sharing. We lived in Indonesia for a while, so we shared a little bit of where we were and his story, where he's from. And he said, my friends tell me that you are World Outreach is into a building project. And I said, yes. I said, told him what I've told you this morning. And he said, well, my wife and I, we would like to partner with you in it. And out of his top pocket came another 20%. Wow. I'm thinking, what's going on around here, you know? And friends, basically to say today, we have received donations from people we've never met. I don't even know them today. We've had donations from the Middle East, out of Egypt. We've had donations from other countries. I still don't know who the donors are. It's just people saying, hey, World Outreach is getting into an office. You want to help? I guess that's what they're saying. And people are sending checks. And today, we don't even need a mortgage. It's debt-free, totally, completely. Now, to say that is not to brag, because I've never been in anything like this before. It's almost like you're sitting in a stadium watching a game going on, and you're a spectator saying, wow, look what they're doing down there. Brilliant. That's how we felt. We're kind of looking on. And yet God just, when I said, I really feel God says it's time to buy, it started something. The moment I agreed with God, it seemed to release something to allow the Holy Spirit to do something beyond my imagination. And I just want to share that with you today, because I believe God is going to say these things to us along the way. He's going to say to you, I want you to do such, such. And you're going to say, who said that? You know, like, it's impossible. In your mind, you're going to think, it's impossible. How could this be? But how big is our God? If you and I are pressing into God, we're after His presence, we're desiring to serve Him and honor Him, friends, we're going to see some fantastic things take place. And I've had people come up, I've shared this testimony before in different settings, and I've had people come up to me before and say, John, this is just the beginning of what God is about to do, new things through you guys. And I'm saying, I'm just enjoying this one. You know, I'm not even after anything extra. I'm just enjoying this one right now. But they said, be ready. God has other things He wants you to rise up to. Well, I don't know what they are, but I've got enough encouragement now to look and back and say, look what God did here. And if He did it here, He can surely do it up there. God is going to open up doors of provision. God is going to give you favor for job interviews. God is going to give you places and appointments and divine appointments and situations that you're saying, I don't know why I've got this job. And God will open doors. God's going to lead neighbors to alongside you, neighbors that you're sort of saying, you know, I don't know if I want them as neighbors, but God would say, there is an appointment here that I've set up. We're looking at a divine appointment God, a God who says, I want to do new things in this day, and I've chosen to do them through you. And I believe with all my heart, as many do in the UK, your best days are still ahead. It's great to look back, and it's great to look at history. It's great to see the Why Europe, Why Now DVD. But I'm believing that Europe is going to get saved. And when you hear the prophecies of that have come out of different great men of God saying that out of Siberia, there's going to come a move of the Holy Spirit that will sweep through all of Europe and come back even to the UK and to Ireland. Friends, it just, you kind of say, is it possible? But my God is well able to do that. And he's not subject to the parliaments. He's not subject to the kings and the princes. He's not subject to Congress or Senate. God is going to do what God's going to do. And God, in his wisdom, think about it, he's chosen you and I. He must see great potential in us. He must see us today as people who can rise to the occasion. And we need to know this book. We need to know the author of this book. And we need to let him talk to us. And we need to allow, like young people, to say, God spoke to me. And I've heard his voice. And I know it's possible. Can we pray? Just as I calm down and still myself, I just want to read just two verses to you from two different books. Isaiah 48, verse 3. It says, I foretold the former things long ago. This is God speaking. I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them. I made them known. Then suddenly I acted and they came to pass. Acts 16:26. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Friends, I believe with all my heart God's going to do some sudden things this year, in the coming years, in order to achieve and accomplish his purposes. He's announced them, he's declared them, and suddenly they're going to come to pass. And so, Father, as we bow our head in your presence today, we open our hearts to you. We thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you that we have eternal salvation. We thank you, Lord, come the day we leave this world, we go directly into your presence and enjoy you forever and ever. But Lord, we don't want to cut short our time here on earth by asking for to be in your presence if we haven't finished what you've called us to do. We want to come into your presence having completed the work that you gave us to do. And like Jesus, Lord, we want to have that sense, and Paul and others, we want to have that sense of, I did what the Lord asked me to do, and I did it with all my heart. And so, Father, we ask you to search our hearts and help us. Would you just stand with me, please? You know, I just sense God is saying different things to different people, and I'm not trying to get into a big altar call or anything here this morning. But I just sense that some people here, God has been stirring your hearts. And my word today, my message that he's put on my heart to bring to you, it's almost like it's a confirmation of what he's already been saying to you. It's like God is saying, I'm about to do some new things, and I want to show you these things. And you're standing here today, and you're saying, oh, God, I want a piece of that action. I want to not be a spectator, I want to be a participant. And I long for more of you in my life. And I long to do your will here on earth. There's this state. Now, all of us have that, I'm sure. But there's some of us, we're bursting. And I just want to pray for those that are about to burst, in the sense that I just sense there's an anointing here right now, because these things are going to happen in the coming weeks and months. For some of us, it's going to be next year. But right now, it's time to press into God. Whether it's this year or next year, it's time to press into God and learn to know his presence and enjoy his presence. But some of us, we know God, we're on the verge of something right now. Would you come and stand out the front? I just want to pray for you. You're hot to trot, so to speak. You know, your heart's beating, your heart's pulsating. You're just saying, God, I'm believing. And I'm talking healings here. I'm talking miracles. You've possibly got people on your heart that you know they need God. God's their only hope. And You're looking for that opportunity, and God's going to use you. He's going to use your hands. He's going to use your voice. But you know who you are. God's called all of us, but some of us right now, it's like there's a divine appointment about to happen. And we just need to hear God's voice and obey it and say, Lord, I'm a candidate. I'm a candidate for you to use me. And for the rest of us, all of us actually, even from this day on, we need to press into God in a new way. Go after the Ark of the Covenant. Go after his presence. Press into him because he's going to speak and he's going to do it. Those that are standing out the front will come out. Would you just lift your hand because I want to pray for you. And I just want to pray a release of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. And for some of you, I can already see it in my heart that this word is just going to burn. It's going to burn in your heart. As you get into this word, as you read the word and seek the Lord, it's going to burn in such a way it's not going to damage you. It's going to light fires. And we want the fire of God on our lives. We want the fire of God on the words of our mouths. And others of us, he's going to open our eyes. We're going to see dreams. We're going to have visions. God's going to give you the strategies. Just like the Koti going amongst the Mawani, God told them how to do it. And if you do it God's way, it's going to work. So God's going to give us dreams. God's going to give us vision. And for others of us, he's going to unplug our ears. And we're going to hear his voice, like young people to say, I heard God speak to me. And for us, who are a little skeptical, maybe we kind of think, oh, I need a confirmation. I need another confirmation. No, we're going to know God spoke. We're going to learn to discern his voice. Father, we stand with our hands lifted up. And we believe, oh God, that you are about to do something suddenly. Lord, you're going to suddenly intervene. You're suddenly going to open a door. You're suddenly going to get a phone call. You're suddenly going to get an opportunity, Lord. We're suddenly, Lord, going to see you do things. And Lord, we're going to suddenly lay hands on the sick and they're suddenly going to get well. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. It is you in us. It's Jesus Christ in us. And I pray for these people right now. Some may be looking for employment. Some may have employment, Lord. Some may be looking for opportunities. Some may be taking opportunities. Father, I just say, let the Spirit of God envelop them. More, Lord, more of your power upon them. Anoint them. Refresh them. Lord, charge them. Charge them, Lord. Lord, let not any failure cause them to shrink back. But Lord, may they just pick themselves up and reach out again. Amen. Father, may we not in any way allow pride, doubt, fear, or unbelief hinder us from expressing what you are saying to us or guiding us to do. But may the boldness and a courage and come upon us in a way that is not of our making. And Lord, let that boldness and courage be an expression of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. May we do it in love. May we do it in tenderness. May we do it with sensitivity. But Lord, let us do it. May we be found faithful. May we be found faithful. Hallelujah.